Praise the Lord. I don't know. I don't know why I have such a heavy heart tonight. I was just over with our young adults, and there's just so many of them over there. And I know the enemy hates it, you know. And I went over to the youth and to see them, and there's just so many teenagers. And I know the enemy hates it. He hates it. He hates that they're here, you know. And boy, you're so right. I mean, as far as prayer, Brother Dan, how we need to pray and seek the Lord. And, you know, the enemy hates what's going on in churches and hates what the work that the Lord is doing. And man, we need to pray. We really need to pray. We need to pray for God's hand to be on our church here, that he is entrusted to us, that he will protect it, and that he will raise up the leadership needed, and that he will lead us forward. Amen. I've had 5 calls this week from pastors that have stepped away from their ministry wanting to come and serve here. And, you know, one pastor told me something Sunday night that broke my heart. And I've been talking with him through the week, and he said that the church conspired against him. And Sunday morning he showed up to preach, and not one person came to church. Can you imagine that? And they sat there at the concert and just wept. You know, he and his wife. And man alive, how we need to pray. You know, the enemy knows what he's doing. And I know that if we will pray as we were just admonished to do, and we will seek the face of God collectively, God will lead us forward. You know, last night I sat around the table with a building committee, and it was so beautiful because not one person wanted their way. Not one. You know, we all had our own ideas. You know, I would do this or I would do that, but at the end of the night, not one person wanted their own way. And man, I don't know, it leads me into this song. This is an old song and kind of old. It's not as old as the second one we're going to do, but have you ever heard this song by Chris Tomlin, Not to Us? Have you heard that? Some of you have heard that song. Could we just stand and, you know, it really talks about not to us, but to your name be the glory, right? Isn't that what we're to be living for? So the chorus goes like this. Not to us, but to your name be the glory. It's real simple. Not to us, but to your name be the glory. That's real simple, isn't it? So let's try that together. I know for some it's new. Let's just try the chorus together, all right? Are you ready? Not to us, but to your name be the glory. Not to us, but to your name be the glory. That's it. You got it. You ready? Let's sing it to the Lord, all right? The cross before me, the world behind me. The cross before me, the world behind. No turning back, raise a banner high. It's not for me, it's all for you. Let's sing that together again. I think you got it, all right? The cross before me, the world behind. No turning back, raise a banner high. It's not for me, it's all for you. Let the heavens shake. Let the heavens shake and split the sky. Let the people clap their hands and cry. It's not for us, it's all for you. Not to us, but to your name be the glory. Sing it out. Not to us, to your name be the glory. hearts unfold before your throne. The only place for those who know it's not for us, it's all for you. Here's what we need. Let's send you holy fire on this offering. Let our worship burn for the world to see. It's not for us, it's all for you. Not to us, but to your name be the glory. Not to us, but for your name be the glory. The earth is shaking, the mountain shouting, it's all for you. The waves are crashing, the sun is raging, it's all for you. The universe is spinning and singing, it's all for you. Your children are dancing, dancing, dancing. It's all for you. It's all for you. Let's sing it out. Not to us, but to your name be the glory. Now let's pray that. Not to us, but to your name be the glory. Not to us, but to your name be the glory, Lord. Yeah, not to us, but to your name be the glory. Amen. Boy, if we live like that, amen. Brother Dan, could you do us a favor? Would you mind slipping out around the building? Just pulling the air conditioning handle down and then kicking it up back up. You just pull a handle down and cut it off and then cut it. You can go either way. All right. Just cut the main handle off and back on and it'll begin to cool in here. Is it warm in here?
Yes.
Miss Tammy is fanning us both. Hey, how about this song? Leaning on the Everlasting Arms. That's an old one. What a fellowship, what a joy deep. Oh, listen. Come on, church. Choir singing. Oh, how sweet to walk in this pilgrim way, leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, how bright the path grows from day to day, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and from all alarms. Yes. What have I to dread? What? There you go. Amen. Let's everybody sing this together. Amen. Here we go. Leaning. Lift it up. Leaning, come on, church. Safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting Boy, those old songs are good, aren't they? Man, let us pray together. Brother Melvin, would you lead us in prayer tonight?
Dear Lord, just thank you for bringing us all here tonight. Thank you for the fellowship and this congregation. Thank you for the love that you give us and you share with us every day. Just thank you for bringing us through when we're
Amen. Boy, what a blessing. It should be cooling off here pretty soon. I'm so sorry. It's warmed up quite a bit in here. If you've got your Bibles this evening, boy, I'd love for you to grab them. And we're going to be in the book of Philippians. I would love for you to see the words of this incredible couple of verses that we're going to look at. And just as you're turning there, I'd love to just share a couple things with you as well. Speaking of building committee, we met last night with a really good architect. And so he is going to begin thinking through, looking at the property and hopefully drawing us up something. It's a long process, but eventually we will be bringing you something for you to look at, pray on, consider. What we do know is it's so expensive, you know? And so we've got to keep trusting the Lord with our giving in that. But man, we do need space. Alex came to me just this week. He said, Dad, we had every chair full in the youth room. We had people sitting on the drums. We had people sitting on little carts. And he said, they were everywhere. I said, praise the Lord. He said, well, what are we going to do? I said, praise the Lord. That's what we're going to do. And you know, and I went over today and spoke with Aaron and Ashley. They were here, which work with our young adults, and they said the same thing. They said we had 30-some young adults crammed into that little room, and praise God for that. Man, these are great, great things. Amen. God is working. God is working in our midst, and we praise Him for it, but we know we've got to march forward and provide some more space, so we ask you to please keep praying. You know, motion causes friction, and people get upset when you try to do things, you know? And so, but we can't just sit here. We've got to do some things, and that's the work of the Lord. And so, boy, just continue to pray there if you will. And, you know, how to handle worry. You know, the timing of this, isn't it kind of strange? I mean, we just talked about worry on Sunday, and we talked about it from the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 7. We'll go back and look at that verse. Now, let me just ask you this. Since Sunday, how many of you have not worried at all? You're really putting into practice what we talked about, and all of your worries have gone away, and you're not worrying at all. How many of you raise your hand and say, you know what, Pastor, that's me, man. I haven't worried at all. Praise the Lord, two of you. What are y'all doing tomorrow? What's that? Yeah, you hired a guy to pay. Yeah, there we go. So tonight, seriously, we're going to take, the Apostle Paul is going to gum this thing down, and he's going to make it so simple as to how to handle worry. And I was thinking about this, most of the time worry handles us. It's not supposed to. We know that from Sunday's message. It's a sin to live a life of worry. And I made a comment on Sunday, and it really struck me, and I knew it to be true. It's why I said it, about how worry can affect your health, all the things that it can do to you. And I went and did a little more research on that, and so we're going to tackle some of this tonight. But if you got your Bibles, you got to check out this verse, Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 to 8. It says this, it says, be anxious for nothing. Isn't that incredible? Like it's the extreme opposite of what people around us are doing. Be anxious for nothing. Now, doesn't that get your attention? Like, where is he going with this? Or how is that possible? Or I've got to hear more. Huh? Don't you feel that way? I know I feel that way. And look at what he says. But in everything, here's the extreme opposite. Here's the answer to our worry. In everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Now, let me just pause and say this because I won't talk about it later. Paul is on the money here, obviously. And I think in our prayer time, we ought to shove in a lot of hallelujahs before we begin asking God for something. And let me tell you why. The Lord inhabits the praises of his people. He's come in the earth looking for someone who wants to praise his name, right? May find it in us. And you know what else it'll do? Not only will it give praise to the Lord, but number two, it'll help lift the burdens of your heart when you start focusing upon the Lord Jesus Christ and his goodness and his grace and just begin to praise his name. Amen. So let's just do that for a moment. Can we do that, Brother Aaron? Would you give us a praise? I'm putting you on the spot, but would you just very quickly, just a quick praise?
Lord, we just praise you for this day. Lord,
yeah.
Sunshine coming.
Oh.
Rain that gave us green grass.
Amen. Amen. Yes. Yes. Amen. Amen. Hey, thank you. I didn't mean to put you on the spot, but I knew he'd do it. Anybody else have a quick praise? I praise the Lord because, yes, Jason.
I thank God just because I still got breath in my lungs.
Yeah. Amen.
That means he's not done with me yet. That's what truly matters.
Oh, amen, brother. I love that. I love that. Brother Danny.
You know, I'm with you on the Bluegrass Gospel, sir. I'm saying I'm praising God tonight for music that lets us all praise God together.
Oh, amen. Amen. Do you want to come up here and sing one? I'll play. You sing.
No, I've heard you talk.
Oh, come on, Danny. Oh, come on. Come on. So with thanksgiving, come on, anybody else, just have it. Let's just praise the Lord for a minute.
I'll go again.
Yeah.
I'm so thankful the Lord just stirred my heart to be thankful for my family.
Oh, amen.
The Lord just showed me, Lord, what a God, what he's given me.
Mm.
Look at what you got.
Oh.
Awesome.
Oh, amen. God is so good. He's so good. His blessings are so good. They're so good. Yes, Diane.
I have praised it.
You're going to praise the Lord for your husband?
Yes.
Because you bombed it last week. I mean, I'm just saying.
Go to confessional. I just thank the Lord for kids who love Jesus.
Oh.
You know, having raised children,
yeah.
You know, I know the challenges and the times they were hurting.
Yes.
And life just seemed so bleak at the time because
yeah.
They were trying to find, they were God's children, not his grandchildren.
Oh.
Teaching them to sit before God and him. And they are doing that. And they've both met some unusual challenges recently.
Oh.
And they're giving God the glory today because we talked to both of them on the way here tonight.
That's so good. So good. Amen. Shannon.
Praise God for my daughters. My youngest got engaged this weekend, but both of my daughters finding godly men.
Amen. Oh, amen. Amen. Amen.
Such a blessing.
Praise God. Amen. Amen. Chad, come back.
Praise God for answered prayers. One was answered today and unanswered prayers. Mm-hmm. Probably he knows that we didn't need anyway.
Oh, amen. Amen. That's so good. Katie.
I praise God that two babies were saved today.
Oh. Come on now. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. That is so good. So good. Praise God. Praise God. And you know what God wants? God wants you. Given an opportunity, like I just put Aaron on the spot, God wants you that when, if you are put on the spot, as Acts chapter 4 tells us, to always be ready to give an answer of the hope that is within us with meekness and fear, right? Given the opportunity, we should be like a loaded gun, you know? Ready to shoot. Go ahead, ask me. Go ahead, ask me. Let me tell you what God's doing. God wants you to have your own walk with him, your own testimony, your own reasons to praise him, and what God is doing in the lives of the people you just heard. Guess what? God wants that kind of active involvement in your life. And let me just say this before we get started. Some of you have been closing out a very difficult chapter of your life. You just wait till the next one, all right? Have that kind of hope in your heart. God is still on the throne, folks. Amen? Amen. And he is still working. I've been telling my son over and over and over again, and I'm not going to say it if I don't believe it. He said like 3 months ago, I just don't see God working in my life. I said, oh, you don't always see it. But I said, son, are you his? He said, yes. He's working in your life. Just mark it down. Just settle it. He's working. He's aligning things. He's moving things. He's saving something. He's preparing something. Oh, God's at work. Amen. 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 And so what God wants us to do in the midst of our praying is to just stop and just say, wow, God, you're so good. By the way, can I just remind you, how many of you said here today, saved, born again from the from above, a redeemed child of the one true living God with your sins washed away through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ? That'll make a dead old Baptist stand up and shout. Come on now, right? It will. It will. And it should. It should. I mean, that alone. I can say dead old Baptist because I've been one a lot of my life. Let me just tell you, folks, look, God wants us to thank him. Praise him. My goodness. Look, don't just look at where you are at tonight. Don't settle in where you're at right now and say, is this it? This isn't it. And the longer you keep seeking him, the deeper he's going to take you and the more work he's going to do in your life, right? And don't look at your life and just say, is this it? It's not. Oh, God is going to do some incredible things in your life. Believe it. Know it's true. Walk with him. Have you read the Bible from cover to cover? The Bible says this. It is one clear clarion message that for the individual who seeks God and walks with God in obedience, he is going to pour out his blessings on you. Amen. He's just going to do it. And that's not some kind of prosperity theology. That is theology of the Bible. The goodness of God. He wants to bless his children as they walk in obedience. Okay, enough about with thanksgiving. Let's get back to this. Let your request be made known to God. Isn't that awesome that we can do that? Watch this. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now, we all know there are a lot of events that seek to drive worry and fear into your heart. There are a lot of unknowns, right? And they want to drive fear into your heart. If you remember on Sunday, I read a study from the University of Wisconsin that says 40% of the stuff you worry about is never going to happen. Only 8% of what you worry about has a legitimacy of concern to it. Think about that. There should be a concern. I just find it very interesting. I think about what Mark Twain once said. He said, I'm an old man. I've known my troubles, but most of them never happened. Come on now, that's true. I mean, think about the stuff you worry about. Does it happen? Most of the time it doesn't. It's not going to happen. Someone said this, and it's so true. Drink this in. Worry is a thin stream of fear trickling through your mind. If encouraged, it cuts a channel into which all other thoughts are drained. That's so true. Come on now. In other words, it'll consume you. It'll eat away at the fiber of who you are. Another one said this, worry is the interest you pay on troubles that seldom come. All right. And so, you know, we know what worry is. I'm not going to go on. There are a lot of great quotes on worry. Some of them ought to be plastered on our bathroom mirror so we can read them as we brush our teeth. You do brush your teeth, right? And so that place where you frequent, where you can read it and say, ah, you know what? That's so true. I don't need to worry. This verse in particular should be there on that bathroom mirror. I don't know about you. I've got to be reminded of it often. Satan would love to drive fear into my heart and paralyze me. He knows what it does to me. And we're going to talk about that. Look at number one here, the description of a troubled heart. I promise you, we're going to get to the prescription that will cure any worry or anxiety that you face. I promise we're going to get the answer to it tonight. But number one, the description of a troubled heart. Look at what Paul says. And you know, we're studying through the book of Philippians, and we just happen to be on these two verses tonight. I think it's divine. All right. Look at verse 6. Be anxious for nothing. Now, this word anxious, it's an interesting word. When we think of being careful, we think of exercising caution. The word used in our text speaks of being worried. This word anxious, it's a worry. You could read Paul's statement to read this way. It's the more common word. Don't worry about anything. I mean, you could read it that way. It's the same meaning. Now, what does it mean to worry? As we saw on Sunday, and I want to say it again, the Greek word for anxious right here in the text, and it is the way that the Greeks looked at worry. They looked at it in this way that it literally will pull you apart. That was their definition. Something that is pulling you in multiple directions. It'll tear you apart. It's like opposing forces coming against you, pulling you in different directions. You don't know which way to turn. You're so troubled. I think it's a very good definition that the Greeks had regarding worry. Worry is being emotionally and mentally torn apart. That's what it is. Now, I want you to see a couple of things, the consequences of worry. I want to go back and I want to look at this again, and I pray the Holy Spirit of God will drive this into your heart so that you will look at your worry very seriously and not just overlook it when you walk out the door tonight, but to seriously look at the times in your life that you worry, be able to identify it and recognize it, and then when that worry comes, know what to do with it. Amen? Don't settle in it. Don't just continue to go through the next 5 minutes being torn apart, or the next 10 minutes, or the next hour, or the next week, or the next month, right? We're going to find out what to do with it. But first, the consequences of worry. Letter A, if you're taking notes, I'd love for you to jot that down. Let me say number one here, worry is physically destructive. Worry has physical consequences. So man, he wrote a book, Heaven's Cure for Earth's Care. George Henderson wrote these words, and I quote, "Worry is one of the most fatal of all transgressions." Listen to what he said. It's a sin against not just one organ of the body, but against your entire body. Listen, do you hear what he just said? Worry attacks your entire body. It is a demon whose pressure is felt upon the heart, and there is not a capillary in any gland or tissue in your body that does not shrink under the glance of its gloomy eyes. Wow. A man who worries, listen to what he said, is slowly draining the springs of his life. My goodness. A very interesting book. You can jot it down if you want to read more about this. It is a great book by Dr. McMillan, McMillen. The book is called This, None of These Diseases. It is a great book. And in this book, what does he do? He's a doctor, and he talks a lot about worry. He talks a lot about anxiety. He talks about stress, and he describes how carnal emotions and stress, listen to what he says, plays a serious factor in your high cholesterol levels. It raises your cholesterol. In the chapter entitled, and you can write this down, Upset Mind, Sick Body. Upset Mind, Sick Body. He describes how invisible emotional tension in the mind can bring striking visual changes to your body. Changes that become serious. Changes that can be fatal. He gives a list of things that anxiety and worry will cause. I want to read you some of the list. It will cause disorders of the digestive system. You think, man, I'm just dealing with some acid reflux. No, you're dealing with some stress. I mean, it will cause some major problems in your digestive system. It will cause disorders of your circulatory system. It will cause disorders of your urinary system, of your nervous system. I'm going to skip some of these. Allergic disorders. Stress will cause allergy dysfunctions. Muscle joint disorders. Stress and worry will cause infections, eye disease, skin disease, on and on and on. And I want to read to you a quote from him. Here's what he says. The office of a physician, don't miss this, is filled with people suffering from nearly every disease in the book because their minds are beset by 1,000 worries about their finances, their health, or their children. Wow. Dr. Roy R. Grinker of Michael Reese Hospital in Chicago said this. He said that anxiety places more stress on the heart than any other stimulus, including physical exercise or fatigue. I just ran 2 miles the other morning, Monday morning, and I want to tell you, my heart was pounding through my chest. And I cannot imagine stress puts more up on the heart than physical exercise does. That's unbelievable. Now, let me give you a second thing here. Not only do we see physically, stress is physically destructive. But wrap your mind around number two. Stress and worry, you mark it down. It is absolutely true. I've experienced what I'm getting ready to tell you. It is spiritually depleting. It is spiritually depleting. It will affect you spiritually in a veritable plethora of ways that you cannot even begin to imagine. Let me give you some. It weakens our desire to pray. It weakens our desire to spend time in the Word of God. That's what worry will do. It clouds our spiritual vision. It takes us out of Christian service. It takes our eyes off of God, and it hinders our worship. Worry will do all of these things. Now, let me just tell you, we'll move on. These are the consequences of worry. Let me give you a second thing here, not just the consequences of worry, but the condemnation of worry. Now, we looked at this on Sunday, but I want to look at it again because it's right here in our text. You can agree with the Bible. You can agree about this truth. Before you leave from here today, I pray that you will agree. And let me just say this before I move on. If you want any of the facts I just gave you, I have them bookmarked in my notes. Where I read them, what page I read them from, and who said it, and the studies they've done. If you don't believe what I am saying, I will send it all to you. You can do your own research. All right? Let me say this. I pray you agree with me before we move on. Worry is a destructive foe. It is the devil's game. I don't know what comes to your mind, but that's what comes to my mind. If worry will affect me that way spiritually, guess what the devil wants to do? Make you worry. Get all uptight over things you cannot control and things that probably will never even happen. And so let's look at this, the condemnation of worry. As we look at our text, we see that God is communicating a mouthful in these next words. He says, be anxious for what? Nothing. Wouldn't that be nice? Be anxious for nothing. God is telling us, don't worry about anything. Worry on the part of a Christian, just know this, it is condemned in the Bible. God condemns it. This isn't his plan for you or me. No, no, no. It's what the devil wants. It's not God's plan. It's not his heart for you. And we're going to talk about this in just for a moment. I know some of you are sitting there saying, oh, really? Easy for you to say, okay? Don't worry about anything. Wouldn't that be nice? Well, let's dive into this. Let me say this before we do. Whatever area of your life you're worrying in, mark it down. You're not trusting God with it. That's really what's going on. You're worrying because you haven't given it to the Lord. You're not trusting God with it. You know, as you read your Bible, I already said this, the Bible condemns worry. Jesus said this in Matthew 6, verse 25, all right? He said, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, nor about the body, what you're going to put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Don't worry about these things. We talked about this last Sunday. Herbert Lockyer wrote these words. We live in a troubled world, and worry seems like the most natural thing to do. Everybody's doing it. Listen to what he goes on to say. any phase of worry, he says, is unnatural. And he says it is certainly unchristian. Do you hear what he said? Do you hear what he said? And he wrote it in a book, The Sins of the Saints. He said it's unnatural and it's unchristian. Wow. You see, when you understand the consequences of worry, you understand the condemnation of worry, you can put it real simple. We are not to be worrying. You say, but you know what? I just can't help but worry. I mean, good gracious. My mom worried. My dad worried. I mean, you know, I grew up around worry. I've always worried. I mean, you know, don't you think it's genetic, Pastor? I mean, like, don't you think it's like in the DNA and it's just passed down and it's just kind of what's going to happen? Well, let's look at this. God gives us an answer. He tells us how to handle worry. And let me say this up front. Worry is a choice. You're the only one that can choose what you're going to do with the worry that comes into your life. No one can do it for you. You're the only one, right? I can't handle your worry for you. I can't tell you to be there and be on your shoulder and say, hey, you're worrying right now. Here's what you need to do with that. No, you've got to train yourself what to do with it, right? And it's going to take some training. And let me tell you why, because if you've been worrying and you're used to worrying, and I'm preaching to myself here, trust me, I've been training for the last 3 weeks from these two verses. I've been chewing on this for 3 weeks. And so let me just say this. The natural thing to do is going to be to go right back and worry again. The Bible says, take every thought captive. In other words, I know this is simple, but this is the way I interpret it. You are going to have to think about what you're thinking about. I mean, seriously. Let me follow it up by asking you a question. How many times have you been thinking on something for 5 or 10 minutes and then all of a sudden you catch yourself? Why have I been thinking about that? It's because you're not thinking about what you're thinking about. You're not taking every thought captive. You're just drifting through your thoughts. You know, you're just allowing them to come and you're just kind of just, you know, sitting there dwelling on it. And that's not what we are to be doing. We are to get up as the children and the people of God with the armor of God on, and we are to fight. And may I remind you, the battle is won or lost in the mind. So let's look at what Paul goes on to tell us here. He tells us how to handle worry. Number two, the directions for a trusting heart. Look at verse 6. Be anxious for nothing. Here's what we do with our worry. But in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Now, Paul tells us not to worry about anything. He tells us to pray about everything. Everything. And let me say this. You might ask the question, should I really pray about everything? Let me say this. If it concerns you, it concerns your heavenly Father. Mark it down. So yes, you should pray over it. The things that you are troubled over, can I ask you? What are they? Don't say it out loud. But what are you troubled over? I have a second question. How many times have you gone to God in prayer over what you're troubled over? You say, oh, preacher, I've gone to God. I pray, I fast. Okay, if you do that, then now what you do is wait on the Lord. You keep praying and you wait on God. God is working. God is going to answer your prayer. I promise you, God is going to answer your prayer. Now, I want you to remember this. His delays don't always mean denials. All right? It's always in His timing, not necessarily yours, right? Sometimes God answers prayer and it's immediate. Isn't that wonderful? You pray over something and you turn around and boom, God does it. That's wonderful. But God doesn't always do that. God does business with those who mean business, and I believe sometimes God wants us to seek Him. I don't know about you, but I'm the father of two boys, and I love when they come to me with a question. I love when they come and say, can I talk to you about something? You know what happens? The same thing that happens when I call on my Heavenly Father. When my boys say that, the world stops. What's going on? You got my undivided attention. Tell me all about it. Now, I want to take you to something I shared with you many, many months ago, and it was on a Wednesday night. My youngest son came home from college, pulled his nasty old tennis shoes off, and he had Nike black socks on with massive holes in the heel. I told him, I said, son, you got to throw those socks away. Why would you wear that? Like, doesn't that bother you? I mean, when you're walking, you got a big hole. What happens? Your heel sticks to the shoe and you walk and the shoe pulls away and it re-sticks and it pulls away and it re-sticks. And every time you walk, it pulls off the heel and sticks again. I mean, it's a constant.
It works on the soul, bro.
Maybe it's just me, but that drives me nuts. I would rather wear two unmatched socks than socks with holes. I don't know about you. So if you ever see me on a Sunday and I have two unmatched socks, you know what's going on. All right? So I looked at him and I said, throw those socks away. So the very next day, I notice he's got socks on again with holes in them. I said, dude, what are you doing? He looked at me and he said, well, Dad, all of my socks have holes in them. I said, why wouldn't you have told me? He said, Dad, I didn't want to bother you with it. Within 5 seconds, let me share with you the thoughts that came to my mind. Number one, it breaks my heart if you're going to live life this way. Number two, have you not known me all the years of your life that I would do anything to provide for you? Number three, you're not bothering me. Number four, I mean, it just on and on and on and on. I looked at him, I said, do you know how much a pack of socks cost? Come on, man. And I walked away from that conversation, and it was like the Holy Spirit said,
did you hear what you just said?
I mean, the Holy Spirit just said, you do the same thing to me. I mean, how many times do you have something in your life and you struggle on it and you wear that holy sock for a month until you go to the Father? You'll live in the stress. You'll live in the discomfort. You'll live in the embarrassment of with your roommates. You know, when you take your shoes off. I mean, I thought you were showing me your holy socks. What are you doing over here? Why? You need some socks? Yeah. So let me give you a couple things. Letter A, take your worries to God. Paul said in everything, you need socks? In everything by prayer and supplication. That's how you handle it. Let me tell you something. If I'm going to go and get a 13-millimeter nut off of a bolt, guess what I'm going to need? A 13-millimeter socket, right? And let me tell you something. What he just said is whatever you are dealing with when it comes to a need in your life, rather than worry about it, here's what you do with it. Now, let me pause and say something. And this is something that I am trying to do this. The Holy Spirit keeps laying this on my heart, and I'm being very real and vulnerable with you. God keeps pressing on my heart to pray like Daniel prayed morning, noon, and night. I mean, to seriously stop life, not with God on the run, and just stop and meet with God for a moment. That's what the Lord's laying on my heart. Now what am I doing? I'm trying to train myself to do that because I don't normally do this. I don't stop in the middle of the day. Trust me, anybody that works around me is, you know, all wide open. I start my day off in prayer. I end my day in prayer, but I don't typically stop during the day and have a quiet time with God. I pray through the day. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 4 to pray without ceasing. I might have a conversation with you, turn around, and I'm praying while I'm coming to the next conversation. Oh, Lord, help me. Lord, give me wisdom. Father, I need you. May you be glorified in this. Yeah, what's going on? Right? Paul said, in everything, by prayer and supplication. Now, the words he uses here speaks simply of this. The word everything speaks of presenting all of your needs to God. Tell God what they are. They speak of laying your petitions before God in prayer. Why would you do that? For God to meet those needs. He will do it. We are to take our worries. We are to take our anxiety. We are to take what's weighing on us and we are to give it to the Lord. He will guide. He will provide. I love what the psalmist said. If you're taking notes, I encourage you to write this one down. Go home and read it. Psalm 55 and verse 22, the psalmist said this. He said, cast your burden on the Lord. What a promise here. And he shall sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved. That's powerful. Now, I'm going to read to you very quickly. I'm going to go here quick, and I hope you can follow me. In 2 Kings chapter 19 and verse 14. I'd love for you to write that down. You're taking notes. 2 Kings chapter 19, verse 14. I would love for you to go home, do some homework, and read 2 Kings chapter 19. But I want to tell you of something that happens in there. Hezekiah gets a threat from the king of Assyria. It reads in verse 14 what Hezekiah did about it. It says, and Hezekiah received the letter from the hand of the messengers and read it. And Hezekiah went up to the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. Come on now. That's what I'm talking about. Hezekiah knew prior to what Paul wrote here in the book of Philippians about taking everything before the Lord. Hezekiah already knew how to do that. You see, Hezekiah, in that letter, it was disturbing and it was distressing, but Hezekiah knew what to do. He went to the Lord and he prayed. Let me ask you, what are you worrying about? Is it physical? Is it financial? I got a text right before I came in here tonight from a lady that's in the hospital and they think she's having a heart attack. And she texts me, please pray, Pastor. I'm so worried. That's what she said. I'm so worried. You've got to pray. And then her text back was, will y'all please pray tonight? I said, we're already praying. She's normally here on a Wednesday night. You know what you do, whether it's physical, financial, marital, emotional, mental, or spiritual? You tell it to Jesus. Take your burdens to the Lord in prayer. Amen. Leads me to the letter B here. Trust your worries with God. I say God because that's the exact word that Paul uses here in our text. Look at verse 6 again. He says, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. You see, we can bring the things that worry us, that concern us, unto God. We can come to God. We can rejoice in the fact of who He is. Look, we can rejoice in the fact of who we're talking to. The temple veil has been torn. We have access. I'm not riding down the street to some Catholic church finding a priest so that he can take what's on my heart to God in prayer. No! I am going to God in prayer myself, wherever I want, whenever I want, wherever I am, God is ready and able to listen. Read the book of Hebrews. So, let your request be made known to God. Now, I want to give you two verses. And these are some of my favorite in regards to giving your requests unto God. You probably hear me quote these a lot. They're my favorite. Matthew 11 and verse 28. Jesus said this, and he's the only one that can say it. No one else could say this. No one else could claim this. No one else could give you this invitation. No one. Only he can do it. He said, "Come to me, all of you who are burdened and heavy laden, and I will give you what?" Bam! That's my God. That's my Jesus. That's what he can do, right? Let me give you another verse. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7. Peter, of course, writing these words, he said, "Casting all of your care upon him." Why? He tells us why. Because he cares for you. Come on, Brett. That's awesome. Come on, Melvin. Isn't that good? Hallelujah. Come on now. Own that. God cares for you. I can't hardly wrap my mind around it. How many of you are sitting here tonight? Who am I that God is even mindful of me? Stop asking that question. Start praising God. Listen, he is mindful of you. He knows everything about you. And not only does he know it, and what is even more amazing, after knowing it all, he still cares. I highly doubt there's a person in the room that would love to open up their life and let everyone in here read every single detail without some form of embarrassment. You say, "Oh, preacher, how can you say that about me?" Let me give you a verse. Romans chapter 3, verse 23 makes it very clear. "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Huh? You're a sinner. I'm a sinner. Just in case you don't know, we're all a bunch of screw-ups. And there are sentences and sometimes paragraphs in the story of the life that we are writing that we're going to hand into God one day. And within that story, within those chapters, there are things that we would love to delete. And that's where the blood of Jesus comes in. The blood of Jesus deletes those paragraphs as though they were never written by your life. Praise God for that. Amen? Oh, he's so good. Cast in all of your care upon him because he cares for you. Let me give you two thoughts. When we come to God, no matter what's concerning you, no matter what's troubling you, no matter what's perplexing you, we can come with thanksgiving. And I want you to know this. He is available. He is available. We have a Heavenly Father that we can go to with our worries. How many of you does God ever wake you up in the middle of the night and say, "Come and talk to me"? Guess what? 3 o'clock in the morning. I got 3 more hours here. God says, "Come talk to me." At 3 o'clock in the morning, he's available. He never sleeps. He never slumbers. Come on now. He's always available. And let me just tell you this. In our Heavenly Father, I want to give you two thoughts. In our Heavenly Father, we have the sovereignty of a king. And we have the sympathy of the Savior. We have the sympathy of a father. A father who would look at you and say, "Why wear the holy socks? Don't you know what I can do? Ask me for this. Let me work in your life." But let me pause and tell you this. Our Heavenly Father is a perfect gentleman. He is not going to force himself into a situation and begin to work without you asking him to do it. He's told you to ask him. He's wanting you to ask. And if you ask, he goes to work. Amen. Ask, seek, knock, Matthew 7:7, and the door be open to you. So not only is he available, but oh, friend, it gets even better. How many of you are encouraged? Doesn't matter. How many of you love this truth? Doesn't matter what time you call on the Lord, he's available. Amen. Lord, I saw your hand go up. You and your husband work with patience all day long. How many times before you go in the room do you say, "Oh, God, help me. Oh, God, give me wisdom"? Oh, I'm assuming that. I don't know.
Constant. Each day, he's got me from seeing somebody else.
Wow. So you know what? In a moment of rush, in a moment of busyness, in a moment of scurry and hurry, God's available. Now, I'm not saying meet with God always on the run. I'm saying let's be like Daniel sometimes. That's what God, and let's slow down in morning, noon, and night. Let's get along with God. You know what my son's been doing on his lunch break at work? I love it. He's been reading his Bible. He's been sending me his takeaway every day on his lunch break. I love that. Praise God for that. He's in the Word. He's telling me his takeaway. Here's what I got from it. Man, it's so good. He's reading through the book of Genesis. God is available. Glory to God. Amen. But let me tell you what else, and it just gets, as one of my friends say, gooder and gooder and gooder. Not only is he available, that friend is Shannon Simmons. No, I'm just I'm just kidding. Hey, look, not only is he available, but watch this. He is able. Mark it down. He's able. He's able. Now, let me say this up front before we look at an awesome verse that says this, that God is able. Before we do, what is your worry tonight? Can you double it in your mind? Can you make it twice as worse? It's hard to do, isn't it? If you make your problem twice as worse, is it still bigger than our God? No. He's able. He's able. He is absolutely able. We can come to God with thanksgiving. You notice those words that Paul uses? With thanksgiving, because we know he is able to take care of whatever is worrying us. He's able to do it. I want to share something with you. I just feel led of the Lord to tell you this. We were trying to sell a home in Bedford. I was pastor here. I wasn't close enough to the church. I'm being called out at night. It's 40 minute drive just to get